Samuel chapter 2, from the beginning. Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exults in the Lord. My strength is exalted in my God. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in my victory. There is no holy one like the Lord, no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very profoundly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble gird on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry are fat with spoil. The barren has borne seven, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low. He also exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might does one prevail. The Lord, his adversaries shall be shattered. The Most High will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the power of his anointed." And from the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke, beginning at verse 46. "And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has looked with favour on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Alison. I'm sorry to have messed about with the microphone. We join in prayer. Lord, we give you this time. May what is spoken ring with truth. May what is heard and understood be touched by your Spirit. And may what is decided lead us all on towards your kingdom. For Christ's sake, amen. I realised early on that having such a fine musician as Sarah to work with here was a joy and a privilege, but also a challenge. We have often, apart from the sorting out of weekly items of music, corresponded about, well, all kinds of things, theology-wise. Sometimes that's been sparked off by something that I've said on a Sunday that Sarah has wanted further to explore. Sometimes it's been sparked off by something that she's been reading or doing. Sometimes it's arisen from the choice of hymns and songs. Maybe, occasionally, she has suggested a change. I have to say, I haven't always felt very positive about this. When an email arrives on a Monday morning asking about something that you said on the previous day, I haven't always felt like answering. Honestly, I can't always remember what I've said the previous day. And if a hymn choice has been questioned, and that's not happened very often, part of me thinks, well, oh, flip, it's taking me ages already. I don't think I've got the energy to make any more changes. But overall, it has been a privilege and a delight to have someone whose faith is alive to the world and to experience, who will not let me get away with lazy thinking, to remind me that this is the worship of the church. It's not just about selecting a few hymns. As I say, a privilege, and one that I shall miss greatly. Though I'm sure that Rachel and Dave and Rachel Haig won't let me off, and Ali won't let me off completely. The world has changed. In lots of churches, ministers have handed over the selection and production of material almost entirely to a worship leader, and in more and more places, there are no organists. It might make life a little bit easier, but I personally can't think of a worse way of organizing to lead the worship of the church. Sarah, as you move on, I hope you will find opportunities to use your prodigious gifts in the future to enhance the church's worship, wherever that may be. Because I like to think that what we do here and what happens in so many places all around the world is important. It's not just a few people gorging themselves on their favorite bits of religion. It is not just an odd activity that belongs to another century, though no doubt plenty of people outside think that's exactly what it is. But no, worship is part of what human beings are. Who and how they worship is part of what human beings are as well. Sarah, as we come to the end of your time here, we also come to the end of our time with the powers. Well, I know we sort of concluded last week when Edward and Graham took part in the service, but there's something more. Back to the beginning, you might say. Do you remember when we started, we began with Luke, with his orderly account of the story of Jesus, and Mary's song, which I rather spurkily suggested would be a guiding principle. And I said that the guiding principle lay behind the way that Jesus engaged with the powers of his day, an ancient principle lodged deep in the heart of the people of God, Israel, for generations. So as we conclude, let's come back to it, and let's take it as a guiding principle for the life of faith here, in Bristol, in Suffolk, wherever. Scientists speak of an organizing principle, much the same kind of thing I have in mind. Research, discovery, living by faith, playing music, worshipping, serving, working. The guiding principle. I think so. I think you could do a lot worse. Some people, quite a few people around in the Christian church, refer to themselves as Bible-believing Christians. Some of them, quite a few of them, are Baptists. Some of them are Anglican. Sarah, you know you can take the girl out of the Anglican church. Thank God you came out of the Anglican church. But you can't take the Anglican church out of the girl. Maybe in Suffolk you will find yourself amongst Anglicans again. Don't know much about Baptists over that part of the world. I'm sure there are some. Some Anglicans call themselves Bible-believing Christians as well, but often Anglicans talk about scripture and tradition, what the Bible says and how the church over centuries has worked out what the Bible means. We wish them all well, those Bible-believing Christians, but you know how hard Bible believers have to work to make faith in today's times fit with faith that was formed in Bible times. Just as you know how hard they will have to work who try to make faith formed by church tradition fit with faith formed in Bible times. If you don't know, see some of the debate going on between some Anglican bishops in Australia who want to clamp down on homosexuality and some Anglican bishops over here who want to open up the church to LGBT folk. It almost makes me glad I'm a Baptist. Almost. But we have our own difficulties about issues of that kind. And it is often because, I think, Bible believing has come to mean believing in the Bible's world and trying to make that fit into today's world. But what if, I know, with Spirit-filled Christians and born-again Christians and Orthodox Christians and Roman Catholic Christians and lots of other kinds of Christians, I know we don't really need any more labels. Still, what if instead of Bible-believing Christians and their opposites, the wishy-washy liberal Christians, I've been called one of those more than a few times, what if we were Mary's song-believing Christians? Christians who believed in the guiding, organizing principle of the Magnificat, Mary's song. It's not everything. It's not enough on its own. You still need the glories of the Old Testament. You still need the story of Jesus. You still need the practicalities of the New Testament letters. But what if, as an overarching guiding principle for it all, Mary's song? My soul magnifies the Lord, you know? He has looked with favor on his servant. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones. He has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. Good stuff. It echoes Hannah's prayer in the song that she sang in Samuel. My heart exalts in the Lord. There is no one holy like the Lord. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble gird on strength. Echoes, see. All down the centuries, whatever the challenges, whatever the setbacks, whatever the failures, whatever the successes, there were one or two of those. And right before, right back to the days when little Israel was under the mighty heel of Egypt, a guiding, organizing principle for the whole of the life of faith. My soul magnifies the Lord. There's a good description of worship, Sarah. One I'm sure you will agree with. My soul magnifies the Lord. Which Lord? Not a God of power and might, not an empire-building God, not a dictator God, not a God on your side kind of God, not a Bible-bashing God, but a God who has looked on favor on his, with favor on the lowliness of his servant, shown strength with his arm, scattered the proud, etc., etc. Take that as a guiding principle for living by faith in the God who in Jesus Christ was reconciling the world to himself. And did you notice in Mary's song, I think I've pointed this out before, it is all present tense and past tense. God is, God has filled, scattered, brought down, lifted up. Not God might, not sometime in the future, not we will overcome someday. God is, God has filled, scattered, brought down, lifted up. It's what it means to live by faith. It is why Christians have always been prepared to be persecuted. Rome, Nazi Germany, South Africa, some at least, USSR, China, who knows where else. It is why we might be ready to help the homeless, to talk with the unkempt, to spend time with the vulnerable. It is why in Ipswich or Bristol or anywhere we might be ready to worship. That's what worship is. Not singing songs and wishful thinking. It is about worshipping God who is, who has filled, scattered, brought down, lifted up. It is about worshipping the God who is here. That's what we proclaim. The powers can't stand in front of such a God. Not when those who put their faith in such a God are prepared to live by such a guiding principle. Can't you imagine Jesus on the cross, muttering through clenched teeth as the pain of crucifixion racked his frame? Can't you imagine? God is. God has filled, scattered, brought down, lifted up. That's faith. Sarah, yours in Suffolk, here, ours in Bristol, anywhere. It's painful. It's not easy. In a world where that refrigerated lorry tragedy can happen, in a world where migrants risk their lives every day, in a world where Syria gets murkier all the time, a world where people divide and lose all sense of trust in the UK, in Europe, in the United States, in Hong Kong and China, it is not easy to believe. But still, in such a world, hope rises where this is proclaimed. God is, God has fulfilled, scattered, brought down, lifted up. And Christ, who died in that faith, lives forever. Sarah, we do wish you very well as we thank you for all that you have given here. And we're sure that you will continue to live by faith and enhance the worship of the church, even if it should be amongst Anglicans. As for us, we'll continue to sing and proclaim in worship and service, as you will. God is, God has filled, scattered, brought down, lifted up, according to the promises he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever. According to the way of Christ, according to the guiding principle of Mary's song. We'll sing, as we know you will continue to sing and play and worship and serve the God who is the universe's music and whose love is the tune and whose peace is the harmony and whose scales of justice are the chords that ring out and echo through the world and through our lives. Sarah, our thanks and thoughts and prayers and best wishes for the future.